again, another one. Hope you're all doing very, very, very well. I've been keeping the theme of what I'm trying to do for this season, at least this year, of telling other people's stories going. Curious to see how people are enjoying it and figuring out what they're doing. But I've got another one for you today. With me, I've got Joshua in the building. Joshua, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Awesome, man. I know you came out all the way from the Bay Area, so I really appreciate you being in Atlanta and having this conversation with me.
Yeah, for sure. I'm happy to do this. Yeah. It's my first ever
episode I'll be on a podcast.
Yeah, ever. So.
You're fully a podcast bro now.
Let's do it.
Don't worry, we don't talk about women on this one. All right. So of course, just for the people who are getting to know you here, tell people your story, your background, growing up in Nigeria. And then, of course, we'll get into your long-term story of, you know, where you're doing now in the U.S. But we'll start from, you know, how did you grow up, growing up in Nigeria? And then, of course, family background, how many, maybe, you know, first of how many children, things like that. What's your story?
All right, sweet. Yeah, I was born in Lagos, mainland, you know, Agege side. Okay. You know, so we're out here, man.
All right. Yeah.
I went to secondary school, primary and secondary school. In Lagos. I'm the first of four children, three boys, one girl.
Okay.
My sister is the oops. There's a bit of a gap between number three and number four.
Fair enough.
But yeah. It's good. I love her to death, though.
Okay. So we've got how many siblings you've got now? So walk me through your journey to essentially America and maybe even undergrad stuff, I guess. So because I know that's kind of how you got here. So.
Right.
Go through that.
Yeah. I remember when I was in maybe SS2, you know, my mom was having that career conversation. Like, okay, what are you trying to do? I'm like, you know, I don't know. I was decent in school, you know, good in math. I think now she tells me I used to like economics, right?
Interesting.
Which is a very, I was really good in the science. I was in the sciences, but I really like economics. I did it in WAEC. And she'd asked me, you know, what do you want to do? I was like, I don't know. She said, doctor. I was like, too much school. I didn't want to be in school that long. And then she was like, engineer. I'm like, oh yeah, actually that's not too bad. I think I'll do that.
Okay.
What kind of engineering? I don't know. Electrical. I was like, all right. I mean, first one you said, sure, let's go with that. And so since then I just said electrical engineering. I actually really thought my mom went to UI, University of Ibadan. That's our alma mater. My parents also, her parents, my grandparents also live close to UI.
Yeah.
So I'd like, oh, I'm going to go to UI, you know, I'll live with them. I'll collect money from for my parents, but I'll be living for free. Like I'll fully enjoy, you know, I enjoy life. Right. But actually, as it turns out, I graduated secondary school at 15.
Wow.
So the federal universities at the time, they had a minimum of 16-year-olds, minimum age requirement to get in. And so, so I'd take a gap year if I wanted. I didn't want to go to private uni. I really wanted to go to UI at the time.
Interesting.
And so that gap year, my mom was a teacher, actually a chemistry teacher. Okay. And so she was like, okay, you've taken WAEC, you've taken JAMB, but we know it's actually next year you're going to go. So come and write this exam at my school.
Yeah.
It's called the SATs, right? Like my school does SAT prep.
Nice.
Come there, come here. So as you're preparing for it, you'll be keeping up with your studies. You'll be able to write JAMB again. I'm like, sure. So I went there, wrote the SATs, not thinking anything of it.
Yeah.
They asked me to pick schools. I just closed my eyes. New York. I just picked schools, right?
Based on cities, you know, yeah.
Based on cities, yeah. But I didn't put my mind to it. And then, yeah, you know, like next thing you know, long story short, I get admitted because my SAT score was really good.
Nice. Okay.
I don't remember what it was now. But it was good enough that I got admission. Actually, I got admission to U of T.
No way. Okay. Toronto, yeah. Nice. Okay.
I got admitted to I got there and then I got into New York Tech. Which ended up being my alma mater. Like I went to college there. But then they sent me a scholarship offer. They sent me $16,000 a year.
A year.
Yeah.
So this was all throughout your education, not even just the 1 year.
Yeah, a year for the four years.
Okay. And then how much was tuition just for ballpark?
It's a private school, so more than maybe like 25 a year.
25. So they essentially discounted it down.
Actually, no, maybe like 50 a year.
50. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
Actually, no, maybe 25 a year. Sorry, I'm mixing it up now.
Fair enough.
But it was much more than that. I think probably 25 a year.
Okay. So essentially you brought it down enough that it made some sense to consider going there.
To consider. Okay. Consider. But then the background is I'm 16 years old. I didn't even go to boarding school. I lived in my parents' house, eating my mom's food. I was taking food to school. I didn't care. Mm-hmm. People were buying food in school. I was eating my mom's food, but I was good. Mm-hmm. So the thought of like, how are we going to send this, our first child to America by himself, another continent, if anything happens, 2 days minimum before you buy a ticket. And yeah, my mom was very reluctant, my dad too. So we were like, okay, no problem. This was September 2013. Mm-hmm. This was to start September 2013. Yeah. So because it was such a tough decision, we dilly-dallied. Mm-hmm. So I didn't end up going because obviously if you're not actually doing the steps to like getting a visa and all these stuff, you're not gonna go. But then my school actually sends an unsolicited, like, improved scholarship offer. They're like,
because you're wasting so much time.
Yeah, yeah. So they literally sent me a full tuition scholarship.
Full ride.
Like, they went from 16K a year to like full ride.
I'm screaming.
I know, like, for real. Like, yeah, this is God.
Just by doing nothing.
Because I didn't come. So they were like, oh, maybe, you know, like,
maybe it was a money thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they sent it to me. And now my dad is like, this is a bit, I'm screaming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So now obviously it's like they push more money in. Now all your reluctance,
it's just your upkeep at this point.
Doesn't stack up as much to the, and so, you know, obviously with a lot of prayer, with a lot of, trust in God, I felt really confident too. Like I pitched them. I was like, yeah, I can do it. I think I'll be able to swim, to survive. And that's how I got to America.
So again, let's just summarize this. Uh-huh. So you woke up one day, Nigeria is not letting you come to university because essentially you're too young.
Right.
And then in the meantime, you're like, okay, while I'm here, your mom is a teacher, so you go do SAT just to like keep up.
Right.
And then you finish this SAT thing, apply to a bunch of schools. Uh-huh. Without any research, essentially.
Just.
You don't pick, like, all right, New York is here, Toronto is here.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Right. And then you get this one. You're still playing with it.
Guy.
And then they're like, all right, bet, let's give you free.
Cash our chips in, man, all in. Yeah, no, it's good. Man. Like, when I think about it, it's ridiculous. I was thinking earlier this year, so I ended up actually resuming January 2014. Mm-hmm. So I came in the spring. And actually January this year made it the end of my 10th year. So I'm starting my 11th year. So it's just been like, it's been an occasion. Like, I've sat down, just reflected on my journey. Yeah. Again, God just opened the door out of nowhere. And now I've gone on to do so many more.
We'll get into it. Okay, so now you finished university. Okay, so let's continue. So you got to university. Now, what did you end up studying in uni?
Electrical and computer engineering.
Nice. Okay, yeah. So New York Tech. And then how did that go? Was that hard? Was that easy? Especially since you're young and adjusting.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I thought, you know, this is America, right? Mm-hmm. Everything you hear is like, it's so difficult. And so I was really worried the first semester, at least, that, you know, I had a minimum GPA requirement to keep my scholarship.
Yeah.
So I was worried that, you know, it would be hard but I think I adapted quite well, especially with academics. You know, I tested into like Calculus 1.
Yeah.
And then I went on to take, like, my maths were good because we did like for the maths. And also by the time I was doing differentiation, integration, all that kind of stuff, I'd done it in secondary school, right? Mm-hmm. And those were like the first three semesters of math courses were things I'd already done in secondary school, right? Mm-hmm. And so I actually found that I acclimatized quite well. I think the if I were to look back and say the thing that I did especially well, or like that was especially wise for my age, was how slow I was to like push the bounds of exploration. Like, you're in New York, right? Mm-hmm. You can get into a lot of things. You can get up to a lot of craziness. Your parents aren't there, right?
Nobody's to stop
you. I think for the first year, I was really like just in a really tight circle. Mm-hmm. Went to school, went back to my dorms. Like, I didn't really try to do too much. Mm-hmm. So I was 16, 17. And it was when I turned 18, 19 that I started to go out more, you know, got my driver's license. And so I started to like explore and like branch out, right? So I was more grounded, right? Like, I knew the city, I knew the area. Yeah. I was better prepared to get into the world. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now you figured out schooling. How did you make friends? How did you connect with people? What was that like, finding a job?
Right. I generally am a social person. I had not fully grown into who I am now as a social person, but I think I had the seedlings of it. So I think I got on with people quite well.
Yeah.
I mean, even in school, like people would, this guy, you know, your maths are good or whatever. Yeah. Like, so, you know, there's, you know, just like black people, not even just black people. Even actually, I think my sophomore year was one of the most connected I was with like people I lived with.
Yeah.
Like, man, it was such a cosmopolitan group. We had Arabs, we had an Indian, a Romanian, we had a white person. Like we just had people from all over the world and we'd go to dinner together. Mm-hmm. And it was great. It was a great community.
Awesome.
But then what was the second thing you asked?
And then the second part. So from uni finishing and then finding your first job, what was that like? Yeah.
Right. I think, that we can even get into that. Mm-hmm. For my first couple of years, I was, like I said, I was very relaxed, very didn't just keep with school and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a friend, his name is Toby. He would be like, this guy was he knew from a young age, he's a comp sci guy. He was writing code. So he's very driven, right? He was doing this thing. He'd be like, guy, what are you trying to find an internship? Like, guy, like be like chop shop, right? Type.
Yeah.
But man, I was very like, just chill. Like,
life will come to me.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then one summer, this guy got an internship on Snapchat. That was pressure, man. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is my guy, right? Yeah. We're roommates 1 year. And then the summer, I was doing vacation. My guy was in Los Angeles on Snapchat's dime, and he was living next to like Santa Monica Beach or whatever. And I'm out here like, no, it can't happen again. I was like, guy, where'd you get this internship? He was like, Nesby. I was like, all right, Nesby, I'm dead. So the next year like this, I bought a suit. You know, I dusted on that resume. I went to Nesby, and thankfully that was my junior summer, before my junior summer. So I got an internship actually at, they've been acquired now, or they've changed their name, United Technologies Corporation, UTC.
Mm-hmm.
So they were called conglomerate made up of different business units. They had an elevator business unit called Otis.
Yes.
Really so popular. I interned there.
Nice.
So I was in South Carolina for the summer.
Wow.
And so that was my first internship experience the summer before I was supposed to graduate. And so with that in hand, and obviously you're polishing your elevator pitch and all of that, I was able to get a full-time role at Cummins as a controls engineer, also at Nesby. So for anybody that's listening, if you're in college and you're trying to figure out like that first internship, I think for me, generally over my career, applications never work for me. Like sending an application in.
Blind,
never works. Like you have to talk to people.
Yeah.
Like people will vouch for you. They'll
just for the people who are listening, NSB stands for what? What does NSB stand for?
Oh, National Society of Black Engineers.
Yep. All right.
Right.
Yeah, so I know they did a convention in Atlanta actually
a while ago. Last week.
Last week, yeah. So that's kind of the cool stuff. Okay, anyways, okay. So now you got your first couple of jobs. You've gone to South Carolina, you've come back, you know, trying to figure things out.
Uh-huh.
We still have the journey because now I know you're based out of the Bay Area. So how did we get from finishing uni? And of course, I know your parents are probably proud.
Right.
Probably.
they better be. I kept my scholarship, man, which is great. Like,
that's exactly. You know, well
I didn't
you as well.
Drop off my grades. So.
Yeah. Well done to you on that one too. Okay. So now you finished off all of that.
Uh-huh.
And you're now at the graduation phase of life. How did you get from there in New York on one side of the coast all the way to the Bay Area? So walk us through that journey.
Right. So I graduated in May of 2018, which for those that are good at maths, we realize it's 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I started at 16, college at 16. I didn't want to graduate at 20.
Why?
Because I was like, I'm not even 21 yet. That's how scary. Am I going to go out with like coworkers and whatever?
The logic in this is hilarious.
I did a minor in math just to take on additional courses to graduate at 21 with an extra semester.
And it was all free still anyway. So
right, exactly. So it made sense. So I was done in May of 2018, maybe February or March, I'd really pressed into Nesby. So by the time I was graduating, I'd gotten a couple of offers.
Nice.
funny enough, now I got an offer from Tesla.
Wow.
In Nevada, coming out of college, 2018.
Wow.
And for me, dream company, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
But then I didn't take it. I took Cummins instead.
Why?
Do you know why? I was like, this company, they might fail, man. And if they fail as an international student, F1 OPT, I can't be with 6 months of experience. Yeah. I'll be looking for a new job.
I see.
You know, like then I have like 30, 60 days, whatever it is to find a new role. Like it's going to be especially like particularly difficult. So I erred on the side of caution.
Yeah.
And went for a traditional, you know, established company that is not too rock the boaty, you know? So they took me to Charleston, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there for 2.5 years as a controls engineer. So I was building, I was working with automation, like manufacturing lines to build turbochargers, which go into the Cummins diesel engines.
Nice.
Okay. And some of them go directly to OEMs, like manufacturers as well. Yeah.
Of course. Just again for everyone listening.
Cars and trucks and sometimes even boats.
All right. Okay. So that's the South Carolina part.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still mind blown by the fact that you turned down Tesla. But
yeah, man, you know, one time, just for curiosity, I did some maths with like what
the stock
my stock would is, like what it is. I did some calculations from 2018, guys. You're like,
wow.
We thank God, man. Like God knows everything. He knows the reason why things happen. I'll have been a millionaire by now.
Easily, probably.
But,
never know.
We thank God.
Let's not look back.
Yeah. In all things, give thanks.
Right. So you have a job now. Of course, you've not worried about the 60-day situation, thankfully, at this other company.
Right.
How did we get from that one next now to in the Bay Area? Because I know you didn't move at some point because that's where I met you. So.
Right. Yeah. So 2.5 years in, well, maybe like 2 years in, you know, I was starting to look around, looking for what growth looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I explored options internally, but I couldn't find anything that kind of satisfied, like, you know, what I thought, you know, like I think at that point too, I was starting to grow into like my ambition as just like I want to do a lot of things. And so, you know, you want to take as like every step you take, you want it to be as far as you can go and not take like take one big step rather than taking a bunch of little steps is how I thought at the time. So I was really just looking everywhere, trying to find that growth.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, you know, another thing that's really useful for people looking for roles is LinkedIn.
Mm.
And, you know, especially like not even just being passive on LinkedIn, but like actively connecting with people and reaching out to them and sending messages and things like that. And later on, I'll talk about another story where it was particularly relevant to me getting a role. But you know, one day I woke up and a Tesla recruiter reached out to me. I was very excited. Again. Yeah, they came back again. I was like, all right, you know, this time I'm ready for you.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Let's go. So yeah, I interviewed. The first role was not a fit. Although the first role that he reached out to me for was not a fit. And then he was like, yeah, don't worry. Well, there's other teams that we can connect you with. So the second one clicked. And so, you know, I got the offer to be a controls engineer at the Tesla Gigafactory in Fremont.
Nice.
And so, for timeline wise, I graduated in May 2018. I moved to South Carolina maybe like June. I started in July 2018. I was there up until like October 2020.
Yeah.
So I moved to the Bay Area like October 2020.
Wow. Right. So pandemic is fully upon us at this point.
Yeah.
All right. And that's how you get into the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. So continue from the Bay Area. How was the time at Tesla? And then of course now what you're doing, I know there's still some changes to come. So
what
was that like?
Tesla was great. Mm-hmm. It's a very driven place, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, starting from the top guy, you know, right?
The less you say about
him. Right, let's not get into that.
Yeah.
But because really, like everybody realized, every additional car you can make is additional revenue for the company. Like the backlog was so like far off.
Mm-hmm.
And then luckily enough, I actually worked on launching the Model S Plaid and the Model X at the SX Plaid.
Nice.
So I was actually involved with retrofitting the manufacturing lines for the new car. So I got to see it like, you know, like the work that went into getting it out of the roads. So obviously there's a lot of work involved.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think I worked as much as, you know, some people I know. Do you not be doing right?
No, actually, I'm not sure.
Okay, maybe. But yeah, he was a Tesla too. He's a friend. He worked. It worked even crazier hours, man. It was their weekends, holidays.
I mean, you guys at Tesla, anybody that's working for Elon, it's not a joke.
Okay. Yeah. But then the thing is, obviously I was very happy to move to the Bay and to work for Tesla. It was an accomplishment for me.
Yeah.
But then you get to the Bay Area and you realize the people that you are rubbing shoulders with, they are big boys, you know, like people are, people were just doing a lot of things. Like obviously, you know, you think of the software companies, the FANGs, you know, you think about people that are like SWEs or PMs, SWE is software engineer and product managers and things like that. People that I felt were doing really well. I was doing really well too, right? But it gave me extra motivation to not be complacent, I think is a good way to put it. And so, you know, a year and a half in, I was still now looking for growth, right? And I was in a particular situation with my team where my manager at Tesla was looking for his promotion. So I felt like it would have been hard for him to advocate for me when he's advocating for himself.
Yeah.
And I think his promotion had been a little delayed. So those dynamics were making it a bit like, okay. So while I was trying to navigate that at Tesla, I was also, you know, like looking outside because you never know where the opportunity will come from. Like if there was a breakthrough at work, I was prepared to stay. But then, you know, so in the course of that, back to the LinkedIn point, right? I actually messaged a controls manager of Facebook at the time. He was talking about like a controls role of Facebook. And I was like, wait, like, up until then I'd worked in manufacturing cars, manufacturing turbochargers. So I was like, wait, Facebook is a software company. Like, why do they need controls engineers? And so I set up some time with him. He was very gracious with his time. He was like, yeah, let's talk. And then it was like, actually, yeah, the controls we do is for data centers, right? So think, you know, obviously Facebook, the Google Clouds, the Microsoft Azures, the AWSs. They are hyperscalers where they build data centers. Some of them for internal use like Facebook, but then many of them for like public cloud use, right? So like AWS, Azure and cloud. They provide, server space and servers, like server storage and things like that for, you know, external companies. Facebook's infrastructure was entirely for their suite of products. And so they were expanding and looking to hire people that had some of my skill set. So me reaching out to him was kind of like just fortuitous, right? And so, you know, it was like, yeah, we don't have headcount right now, but you know, in a couple of months we will. So I'll reach back out to you. And for me, I thought, this is a soft no.
Trying to be nice about it.
Trying to bounce me, right? Yeah. But then he actually reached back out, which is just is again God, right? That's the common theme. He reached back out. You know, he was like, yeah, you ready to interview? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know, over a couple of weeks, maybe less than 2 months, I got the offer and joined Facebook in summer of 2022, summer of 22.
Yeah. Cause I know that's literally where our own timelines overlap. Cause I went and joined Meta at that time. And then of course you were there and then we connected. So that was okay. So now, Meta, you know, big boy, you know, because again,
come on, that free food, man.
The free food.
I gained the 15 pounds. Bro, I gained them.
So, I mean, at this point now, if you look back on your career, you've already had like pretty notable names, right? You've worked at Tesla, you've worked at Meta, you've worked at Otis as well.
Right.
So, you know, you're not doing bad. Now, walk us to where we're at today, because I know part of why you're in town is for, you know, work, quote unquote. I know people can't see the air quotes, but
work. I'm working, though. Yeah. We're working hard. Yeah, no. And I think, you know, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I was talking about like, if you look from the outside and you look at people's stories, maybe their LinkedIn, for example, it can seem like an unbroken thread of like, just like
job after job.
Up. Like, oh man, how's this person doing it? Right. Like if you look at my LinkedIn now, like it probably looks like
it's not like it is.
Right.
It
not but like at every point where those transitions happen, there were maybe many times there were like 3, maybe 6 months of like me, like, okay, what is the next step for me? And me not knowing like the unknowns of that. Right. One of the like challenges that come that people don't really, might not really see, if they're just looking and taking a cursory glance is, so I was at Facebook, like summer of 22.
Yeah.
And then by the end of that year was when, you know, all like the tech layoffs were happening. Right. Yeah. And so like all of a sudden places that had never done layoffs before, like the Googles and Facebooks, now they're doing layoffs. Yeah. Right. So everybody's shaking up. I think November 22 was the first time Facebook did layoffs.
Yeah.
So by March, I think maybe April of 23, you know, like I wake up one day And I get the email, like, oh, yeah, your services. I mean, they didn't say that, but we regret to inform you, all of that.
All those, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously it's always a shock, right? Like you're hopeful that, you know, you'll be unscathed by these things. I mean, you know, it affects people, but you hope that it's not you.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
And so, it opened up a period of uncertainty. Obviously, I'm also on a work visa. You know, there's timeline considerations for, you know, like, you have to get a job by XYZ date. And so, I mean, and then obviously, right, like, your income stops, your bills don't stop, right?
That's another problem. Like,
But I think one thing I will, like, that was a foundational piece of calm for me, or a peace for me. And I was really calm, actually, through the whole process. Like, you can ask, like, people I live with. I actually took the opportunity to, you know, like, explore things that I hadn't had the time for. Like, that's when I started going to, like, SF Tech events.
Yep.
You know, like, exploring them and saying, like, listen, I live in the Bay Area. This is, like, a hotbed for innovation and things like that.
Yeah.
And so here's a chance to go see what people are building, right? But what gave me peace and calm and, like, just, like, is, like, faith, right? Like, the point was, like, I remembered that, listen, even you being here, it's not like I was hankering to move to the US, right? UI was my dream. That was the limit of my ambition, right? And then, like, God came and got me, right? Like, he came and opened the door for me. And it's guided me through to where I was at that time, right? So, like, I mean, if God wanted me to be disgraced, like, just leave me where I am, like, you know, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And so that was, like, the surety I had, and it just kept me through, right? And so, maybe, like, 2 months in, you know, actually, funny enough, a funny anecdote, the week before the layoffs, an Amazon recruiter reached out to me and my dear LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I was like,
nah, I'm good.
Damn, listen, you know, I actually don't want to work for AWS, but there's Facebook layoffs next week because they'd announced the date.
I remember that. That was so cruel.
They said Wednesday. Okay, so I said, you know what? I don't think I'll be affected, though, because I work in IDC, infra data centers. Like, Facebook is building all these data centers. They're probably not going to touch my team. But if they do,
I got you.
I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
So as soon as I got the email like this,
you reached out.
LinkedIn.com, messages from my,
It seems
that I might have you know, some availability over the coming periods of time. And she was gracious. You know, she was like, yeah, it happened. You know, obviously that started a long interview process, and it culminated in me actually getting an offer from AWS.
This guy.
So I got an AWS offer. Glory be to God, right?
Yeah.
Now, the AWS offer was in Oregon. So they wanted me to go and like help scale and build in their new slate of data centers in, like, Eastern Oregon, like middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
I didn't want to go there. I wasn't excited about it. Like, the opportunity to continue to live in the Bay Area was ideal for me.
Yeah.
But then, like, you're kind of forced. You don't know what you're going to do. Sure, no problem, right? So now, before my Amazon start, so actually, no, I'd accept Amazon because that's my only option.
Yeah. Is that right? Or go back to Nigeria, essentially?
Right. Then, you know, at one of the tech events that I started exploring, you know, I went to San Francisco one day, you know, it's an Africa-focused event. I went just talking with people, mingling. I'm like, oh, you know, I've been working in data centers for Meta, like, things, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yep, I was speaking to this Nigerian guy. He's a VC, so he's a venture capital a partner. Like, he invests money in companies. Like, oh, you work in data centers. You know, I was actually just, there's this cool company, you know, doing interesting things in the data center space. They're working in AI, you know, they're doing energy optimization for data centers using AI. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Could you send me information about them? Like, let me just, you know, look at their website, look at their technology stack, whatever. He's like, sure. Like, so he texted me. I'm like, then I followed up with him. I'm like, oh man, like, this company is actually interesting. Do you know any decision makers there? I'm like, oh yeah, I know the CEO. Like, the CEO was trying to raise money. No, the CEO was trying to, like, raise money, right? Oh, so it met the VC, like, the guy I spoke to. And then it was like, send me a blurb. I'll forward it to a decision maker. He didn't even tell me it was a CEO. He just said decision maker. So I sent him a blurb. He forwards it. The CEO of the startup I was like, yeah, Demi, thank you for speaking highly of us to people. Oh, no. Like, yeah, I'm happy to talk to him. And then he sets up some time, we talk. He was like, oh, yeah, great. We get along. You know, we actually have roles available. Like, you know, if you'd like to.
Are you looking for a job?
Ah, oh, before you know it. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I started the interview, the startup I'm at now, I started it from the CEO, which is just God, man.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So I started from CEO, then I went to VP, then I went to director, then I went to like a team.
Guy,
it's grace, man. Wow. So at that point now, the startup is fully remote. Mm-hmm. So I could stay back in the Bay Area. Yeah. And it's working AI too. And not even just AI, it's building AI for an industry where I'd worked in, right? So I had, you know, relevant experience to contribute to this story, right? But then, you know, an interesting thing because of like the H1B and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'd accepted AWS, they advised me that, okay, like the government is expecting you to start working at AWS, right? So if we file another H1B for you, it's going to like cross signals. We don't want to like jeopardize anything.
Okay.
So they were like, go to AWS, work there for a while, get a couple of paychecks to prove that you work there, and then come and start with us.
Wow.
I was like, no problem. So
they were even understanding of the situation
exactly,
as well.
Yeah. So I moved to AWS. I started there, but I didn't actually move. I kept everything in the Bay. I just packed a bag. I drove up 12 hours to Oregon.
12 hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I had to, right?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I worked there for 2 months and then I quit.
And then you quit and then moved.
And then came back to the Bay. And then, and now I'm at Phaedra. Like we build energy optimization, AI for data centers.
Nice. So...
And that's what's brought me here to Atlanta to your house. Long story, but so we're doing an in-person team meeting.
Wow.
Now
team
I'm here.
Meeting. Again, for everyone listening, these guys just decided that they want to do their meeting in Atlanta. It wasn't as if they have an office here.
We don't have we're fully remote. We have no offices. But you know, if you're gonna pick anywhere, pick a
nice place to be.
A nice place to be.
So again, incredibly proud of you because obviously your own journey is kind of is one of those like wow like throughout like again free ride to come to the US out of nowhere because again this is even something you're trying to do and then you get recruited, you move to South Carolina, then you move to the Bay Area, and then even to Tesla that you were hoping you would get into that one time when they were not that sure, here we are now. And then from Tesla to Meta where we met, we connected. I remember you were doing this thing with like Africans in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, who's this guy? And he's like, yo, Tolu, you should come. I was like, all right, bet.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Any other stuff, any other advice or stuff that you do outside of, work? Because I know you do the Africans in Bay Area stuff that you do.
Uh-huh.
I also know that there's some other things you were trying to do with some of your friends. Just walk us through some of that, like the type of sports and even just like connecting with guys. Yeah.
Right. I think the story we've told is the, you know, in terms of like the MCU, that'll be the main timeline. You know, there are a bunch of alternate timelines that are kind of branched off, right? You know, I've always been involved with the community.
Yeah.
And community is big for me. Obviously, like I left home really early.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to build community everywhere I've ever lived, right? Like everywhere I've lived, I literally just move. I don't know anyone. One person, bam. And then you find friends, you find that first person, second person, and then you build a circle and then you're comfortable.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's New York and then South Carolina. All your college friends generally will stay close to where they went to college.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to South Carolina, zero people, bam, landed, you know, meet the first person, second person, build community. Same thing as the Bay Area. And then especially difficult was COVID.
Yeah.
So then everybody's remote. I'm working at Tesla. They're telling me to come to the office. Excuse me.
No problem.
So I'm going to the office. But barely anybody's going to the office. There's only other like manufacturing people that are there, right?
Yeah.
And so how Africans in the Bay actually came to be is, you know, I was in a line one day, like going, trying to take the shuttle to the parking lot because Tesla had like overflow parking. Mm-hmm. Like it was far. Yeah. So you take a shuttle. And then I hear this guy talking on the phone, Niger guy. And I just started. So it was talking like a pigeon. I was like, once he gets off the phone, I'll talk to this guy. Like I'm looking for people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go to him like, Ogami, how's it going? Like, I just started here. Like, you know, do you know any other Nigerians? Like, you know, what's going on? Like, what's the lay of the land type thing, right? I was like, I'll introduce you to one person. And then he introduced me to one person, then a second person. And then that second person introduced me to a third person. So I was like, okay, you know what? There's like three or four people now.
You already?
I created a group chat. Like, okay, like,
you know, connect here.
Yeah. And then it started growing because people were like, oh, there's this Nigerian group chat.
This,
like,
yeah, there's one
person, that person,
yeah,
that person, someone in Austin, someone in Nevada, other people in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we're 20, 30, 40, 50 people. And then, and I was like, ah, like, everybody, we're all in this group chat together. We don't, if I saw you on the street, I wouldn't recognize you because I see your name. I don't know how you look. I don't know anything about you. Like, let's get together one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody opened up his apartment, like clubhouse. And then I ordered food. You know, it was like a 3-day weekend or something. So me and a couple of people, Toby, Nahum, Babatunde, like Abiodun, like there were a bunch of us. So we put money together, $50, ordered a couple of trays of food, rice, J-rice, chicken. And then we put it in the group. Everybody come through. Like, and then I invited all the Nigerians that I knew outside Tassala, like, come through, let's see each other in person. Like, COVID has isolated everyone, right?
Yeah.
And then it was just good. Like, people loved it. It was the end. Like, people didn't want to go. Like, because no, people, like, COVID was bad, man. Like, people were really isolated, right?
Yeah.
And so then, you know, the next 3-day weekend, like, I did it again. And then I did it again. Mm. And then people, like, this was not even like something I wanted to keep on a schedule. I haven't even kept it on a schedule. But then if it's been too long, like, people will start asking me, like, guy, when is the next event? Like, when are you going to get people together again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's getting to the point where, you know, we actually have a brand, like, people recognize, like, I go places and guy, I know you are like, oh, Gami, what's going on? Like, you know, oh, didn't you do the Afghans in the Bay event at that place? And I'm like, yeah. Like, when are you going to do another one? You know, we'll do it soon. Right. And even now, right. You know, I'm working with a friend, like, we're thinking of actually, like, even scaling it beyond that. Right.
Yeah.
Like, why can't we provide, you know, like, you know, I've thought about it. The Bay Area has, obviously, there's my generation of people, right?
Yep.
But then there's Nigerians and African people that have come before us.
Yeah.
That have risen through the ranks. Like, they're, you know, directors and startup founders and just really successful people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have no need to reinvent the wheel, I feel like, right? There's learnings to be had. There's wisdom to be shared. There's things that they've done and seen and overcome that we don't have to go through the same challenges, right?
Yes.
So I've been thinking a lot about how to bridge that gap and expose people to just like the knowledge and learnings of like the previous generation. And they're very willing to share.
Yeah.
But they don't know where the young people are. And then the young people don't know where the older people are. So because they're in their family houses, they're going to,
Go to church and go home.
Piano recitals and tennis games, and they're taking their kids places. And then our people, we're doing all the things.
You're not going to school with children.
Right. So yeah, that's some of what I've been doing. And obviously then on the side too, you know, I like soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, started a group together. And then it's probably like 200-300 people now in it where we play soccer a couple of times a week. And it's a great way for new people moving to the Bay. You know, you move to the Bay, someone invites you, and then you meet all the Nigerians doing excellently well. They're young, you know, you can find friends there. People want to go out. People want to hike. They want to do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
It's a good way for people to connect. So, there's a couple of things that, you know, my life has looked like for me.
Much. So now you've also become a community builder on the side. You know,
I fell backwards into it.
So, I mean, again, like I said, I'm super proud of you. I know, like, even as you're working at your startup, you're building all these different things, you know, building community in different places because it's not just the Bay Area you're doing it. And so all together, I just want to say I'm really, really proud of you. I'm going to bring this episode to a close shortly. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to say, for anybody else who's like, you know, any advice for people who are like thinking about either moving to America or people who are moving from different parts of the world or moving to different cities, because you've done the full thing, right? Mm-hmm. Started, your whole dream was just, you know, UI. And then it became New York and then, you know, South Carolina and then the Bay Area. And for a short time, you know, Oregon, whatever. But even in all that, any advice for people who are about to make moves like this and maybe is too scared to do it or whatever? Any parting thought?
This is a bit of a cliche.
Yeah.
You know, the saying is, you know, aim for the stars.
Yeah.
You know, if you miss, you'll land on the moon. The part I added is, but still you'll be out of this world. Like, you might miss in your goal, but you'll still achieve something exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, a couple of things I've been thinking about recently, you know, like, there's people that will do a full career climbing the corporate ladder to get to like the CEO of Walmart or Sam's Club or something. Like, you can work at a company for 40 years. And over time, you can be excellent at your job and get promoted and improve until you become the CEO, right?
Yeah.
Or you can be like, and maybe this is an in vogue example, you can be Sam Altman, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody can be either of those two people.
Yeah.
But the difference is like, one person went like direct to like what he thought his goal was going to be. Mm-hmm. And then another person was like, okay, I'll go the like step by step by step.
Yeah.
And what I think about it is like, there's nothing in this world you try to do that's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like whether you're an entry level person, you work 40, 50 hours, 60 hours, you're tired, you're working hard.
Yeah.
If you're a director, you're working hard still.
Everybody's
if you're
hard.
A CEO, like you're working hard. Like there's really ever a point where if you're like, you're not working hard, right? So if you're going to work hard at something, like work hard at like, or will give you like the greatest return, right? Like try for that high leverage thing.
Yeah.
And then even if you don't like succeed, even if you don't succeed fully, whatever success you get will generate more returns for you than just like working hard at like a very low leverage thing.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So essentially go for it. You might as well, because everything is hard. Everything is hard. You might as well go for your dreams anyway.
Yeah, there's very like the world already, I feel like, is optimized. Like people are the low hanging fruit in the world, everybody has taken it. Right. So if you're looking for success and money, like you have to do something like
fair enough.
That's different.
Dope. Honestly, Joshua, I want to say thank you again for joining me on this thing. I'm sharing your story, sharing everything that you've done so far. And I know there's still more to come. And
Grace.
You know, it's great to see people dreaming and going for stuff in America. And for me, it's just a really good opportunity for me to have captured it. So thank you.
Before we end, There's even more things in the works.
Yeah, you want to talk about it briefly?
More things in the works.
You're not ready to share.
I'll briefly mention it. So, you know, I think, you know, when you, I don't know if we talked about it, but you did an MBA, right?
Yes, I did.
And it was a pivot to like some of the things that you've got into.
Yes. So you're thinking about doing an MBA now?
An MBA is in my future.
Yeah.
MBA is in my short-term future, actually.
Nice.
Short-term future.
Okay, have you thought about schools yet?
Am I thinking about schools? No, I'm past that.
You already got in. You already have good admission.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Congrats,
man. God has done too much for me, man. I really can't, man. If I start sitting down counting, I'll be talking for days, man. Okay. But yeah, I got into in a really good institution.
Yeah, so top 7.
I'm moving my talents to to New York City.
You're going back to New York?
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. So Columbia.
Columbia, man. M7, let's go.
Congrats, man. That's actually dope. Okay,
yeah,
so
I know, ridiculous. It's
when do you start?
August.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're actually finally leaving the Bay Area.
Finally.
So what's going to happen with your job? What's your plan?
I will leave without burning any bridges.
I mean,
maintain relationships.
Because Columbia is expecting you to be full time, right? It's not like
full time MBA. So yeah,
you're not gonna do it. Yeah, and I mean, you people that are doing MBAs in this part of the world, you people are just traveling. You're not really going to school.
I have multiple reasons why I think it'll be beneficial for me. Extremely beneficial.
Yeah.
It's been something I've been thinking about. Actually, I've been planning for upwards of 4 years, like 3-4 years. So it's been on my mind. It's been something. And it's actually informed some of the career choices I've made.
Yeah.
Because obviously some of these, top institutions, the competition is intense.
Yeah.
And you really need to stand out. And one of the ways to stand out is name brand.
Of course, on your
resume. Brand names, yeah.
Did you have to also do any like scholarship stuff on this one too? Or how did that one, with the Columbia guys, or are you still in the process of doing that?
I think there's no additional application for scholarships.
Okay, so it's already part of the admission process.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they offered me something, so it's
sizable.
Lowers the cost of attendance.
Yeah. Fair enough. So again, see this guy.
It's God, man. That's all I can say, really. Yeah. Right? It's God. And the thing is, man, like, not to turn this into a Bible session, man, but those that know their God, chat. Mm-hmm. Mount up their wings,
maybe you're gonna be a pastor next.
No, really, sometimes I actually think about like, man, I might be a pastor. No, even like, God should not call me to be a pastor.
I mean, like, God, you know,
I'm begging, like, because if it calls you, you cannot add up. I mean,
you can be like Jonah if you really want to.
And yeah, the fish will swallow you.
I mean, if you think about again, I'm not trying to follow this thread, but like that fish story still doesn't make sense. But that's,
you know, don't worry. If you enter the belly, of a fish, then you tell us whether it's true or not. One of the things in the Bible is the fish that does not make sense.
I mean, again, like I said, right. That's the point.
Right. But yeah. You know, okay. There's a lot to see, a lot to do, a lot to discover, a lot to be a part of. I said to my friend yesterday, like the predominant emotion I feel these days is excitement. Excitement for what the future holds.
Yeah, man. And, you did your back. Maybe we'll bring you back in another future episode to be like, yeah, so give us updates.
I'd be happy to, you know. Yeah. Maybe we can do my first ever podcast episode and then my second ever.
You get. You know? Don't worry. Hold it back. Just, I'm putting a retainer for sure.
Yeah. You know.
All right, guys. As you've heard the story in so many different versions, obviously. All the different places he's gone, come to, and we've seen now even taking his talents down back to New York for round two. Because the first one was so good.
Round two, man. So
I'm really, really proud of you, man. Congrats. And for everyone else who's listening, as you've heard, go for it. You never know what might happen. Certainly don't be shy. What's the worst that can happen? So catch you guys in the next one. Peace.
Bye, guys.